I want to remind you all that we collect offering here with a bucket in the back. You can just drop something in the back if you want to contribute to the work of the church. And you can also give online. There are opportunities to do that. We'll probably pop up here. And remember that that's not just throwing money at something. That's investing in what we do as a church. So that's important. Now, we're going to take a quiz to start this sermon on gun violence. This is not one of those, trivia quiz. This is a, wow, this is a problem quiz. So let's see, I think I got six questions. Let's see how you do answering, all right? The first question is, which country has the most guns in civilian hands? You can pick Pakistan, U.S., China, or India. What do you think? Wow, that's pretty unanimous. The second highest is India. India has 71,100,000 guns in civilian hands. 71 million. The U.S. has 393,300,000. Huge gap there. All right, number two. According to a 2015 study conducted by researchers from Harvard and Northeastern, gun owners said that they owned a firearm primarily for what purpose? For hunting, to exercise the Second Amendment, personal safety and protection, or sport and recreation? Personal safety and protection was the answer. I think I heard a lot of folks say that. All right, question number three. About what percentage of American gun owners are estimated to have bought a gun without a background check? 5%, 70%, 33%, or 1%? It's 33%. So one-third of guns in civilian hands. Number four. In a Quinnipiac, I don't know what that is, poll conducted after the Parkland attack, how many Americans said they supported background checks? 97, 45, 80, or 20%? 97%. The note here says that Democrats and Republicans both, and those with and without guns, but when Americans are asked to vote for a legal change, that support seems to drop off. All right, these last two, pretty tough. How many mass shootings, which is four or more victims, in the U.S. have happened so far this year? This year, 2024. None, 5, 11, or 22?
22.
Answer is 22. I had 18 written down and I checked it this morning. Went up to 22. Last question. The leading cause of death for children and teens in the U.S., is it cancer, other illness, firearms, or car accidents?
Firearms.
Answer is firearms. That's a combined from accidents that happen, suicide, and homicide. It's the leading cause of death. Well, you all guessed most of the answers right, so did you learn anything from that?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Well, you're excused. yeah, those statistics, they float around, but for me, looking at them straight on like that is gut-wrenching. I think that it is very obvious that gun violence is a problem. No matter where you come down on this issue, we've got a problem. I want to read to you the United Methodist Church's response to gun violence. Again, this is in the social principles. We have this document that we vote on, and it's kind of our discernment of what we believe. It doesn't mean everybody believes everything, but I think you'll hear some things that you resonate with this. United Methodists believe that gun violence greatly affects individuals, families, and communities. The United Methodist Church calls congregations to address gun violence locally through prayer, conversation, support for those affected by gun violence, practicing and teaching gun safety, and partnering with law enforcement to help prevent gun violence. The church also urges congregations to advocate for laws that prevent or reduce gun violence, such as universal background checks on all gun purchases, ensuring all guns are sold through licensed gun retailers, prohibiting gun purchase for those under restraining order due to threat of violence, and those with serious mental illness who pose a danger to themselves and their communities, ensuring greater access to services for those with mental illness, establishing a minimum age of 21 years for a gun purchase or possession, banning large capacity ammunition magazines and weapons, and promoting new technologies to aid law enforcement agencies to trace crime, guns, and promote public safety. I don't know if you could tune into all that, but that's a pretty specific statement from our denomination about gun violence. Now, the series is about what would Jesus say? There weren't guns back then. So what would Jesus say about guns? Well, the closest we can find is in the Gospel of Matthew. I want to read three different places in Matthew. A couple of them are just a verse long, but you'll remember these. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. And then Matthew 26:52. Then Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will die by the sword. And then this longer passage, this is Matthew 5, and it's verse 38 through 48. You've heard these words. Listen to them again. This is concerning retaliation. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, give your coat as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, did Jesus practice violence? Not really. Sometimes we point to the time when he was overthrowing the tables in the temple. He wasn't hurting anybody, but he was definitely making a point. He was definitely angry. I think that the scripture speaks for itself. I think Jesus was an advocate for nonviolence. He never addressed complicated issues like just wars or hunting, you know, things like that. But he did advocate. He insisted on loving our enemies. So this is wrapped up in a philosophy and a theology of nonviolence that is called pacifism. You've heard of pacifism before. There are certain Christian traditions that are explicitly pacifist, like Quakers and Mennonites. And there are groups within just about every denomination that are pacifists. There's a long list of historical figures that were pacifists. We're talking about Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi, the Dalai Lama, you know, people like that. I think Jesus fits right in that list. I think that's probably right. He would fit into that list. Can you picture the Dalai Lama, you know, carrying a rifle? I just can't picture the Dalai Lama carrying a rifle. Could you picture Jesus wearing a hip holster? I can't picture that. So what does that mean for us? Some of us are gun owners. Some of us aren't. What does it mean if we're going to listen to what Jesus says? Should we do away with all guns? Should we stop using guns for hunting even? Or what about for protection for our families? I think Jesus is pretty clear of his position on violence. But how do you think that applies today? I'm not going to stand up here and try to be an expert and tell you what to believe. I want to give you a chance to just talk with the people around you. How do you see this playing out? What do you think our response should be to gun violence? I want to just give you a couple minutes to do that online. If you have any thoughts, please type them in the comments. Get a conversation going. I want to remind you that it's important to be respectful of other people's opinions. We're just having a conversation here. You don't have to persuade anybody of anything. Just share a little bit. So let's take a few minutes and just turn and talk with each other. All right, welcome back. Did anybody get this figured out? Anybody? I think I'm more confused than I was before, so. I'm just going to share my two cents at the end of this sermon. Just a couple things that I've thought about in my life. The first is not even theological. It's more of a common sense thing. About 10 years ago, I adopted this motto for me. Let us be the most careful with the most dangerous things. Let us be the most careful in our society with the most dangerous things. I think that's common sense. And I think that applies to guns, nuclear weapons, viruses, you know, all kinds of things. If these things are really dangerous, let's intentionally be the most careful we can be with them. And so what does that look like? You know, there's lots of things that we've talked about that the United Methodist Church advocates for. I think it's an issue that if you're passionate about, you should think about this when it comes to time to voting for candidates for different offices, advocating for some sort of gun reform, things like that. Certainly, the statistics make us folks who own guns wanting to be extra careful and using them and storing them and training. So common sense, we should be putting energy into being as careful as we can with these guns. And the last is a theological thought, and it's not mine, it's Jesus's thought. Did you hear that whole thing about turn the other cheek and love your enemies? And the last line is vexing. He says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect. Wow, really? That's a tall order in this world, to be perfect on this kind of thing. I believe that in a perfect world, we probably wouldn't have guns. In the kingdom of God, I don't think there are guns. But this isn't a perfect world. And that makes something like this really hard. I don't know if you remember our sermon series about John Wesley, but he talked about the life of faith and extended on in our lives to this point that he called Christian perfection. And he said this was like the goal to attain in our lives where we didn't consciously sin. And he said he didn't know many people that had ever gotten to that point, but that we should still set that as a goal. I think about that, and I wonder, where does all of this leave us? Is nonviolence impossible? I don't know. But I do believe we can try. We can try. Amen.